Hi, everybody. It is me, Tracy, with Spiritual Not Religious. First off, today I want to give you a heads up that you might occasionally in the background hear a growling sound, and that is the sound of my three-year-old cat who has recently been introduced to a new baby cat, a little kitten named Tabitha, my three-year-old. His name is Panther, and he is not super jazzed about this new baby cat. So occasionally, as they are running around here in my air quote studio, they may make some noises. And if it gets too intense, I will have to put a stop to it. But so far, so good. But today what I want to talk about is the issue that I see with a lot of people in my clinical practice, and that is worrying about what other people think. And I want to talk a little bit about why that is completely useless to worry about what other people think. Not just in a cute, hey, don't worry about what other people think kind of way, but in a way that it just actually would not matter to you. If everybody really, really thought you were great, it wouldn't really matter to you unless you yourself felt good about you. So take a moment. I'm going to show you a little, do a little demonstration for you first. So take a moment. Take a deep breath just to kind of get yourself available for a little imagination. Take a moment and imagine that you are in an auditorium full of 20,000 people, and all 20,000 of those people are enthusiastically screaming your name and saying, "Yay, you rock, you're the best, you're so great," and they're all saying that. Now, be honest with yourself. If you are not feeling so great about yourself, 20,000 people telling you you're great might be a little bit of a endorphin hit for a few minutes, but a week later, it's not going to mean anything. You're just going to think, oh, well, I fooled them, or somebody paid them, or there must have been an applause sign or something. You're not going to really care. Now imagine, for a moment, take a moment to imagine the part of you that is capable and willing to accept that you really are great. You really are plenty good enough. Did you hear that little growl? Take a moment and just imagine and connect for a moment with that part of you that says, yeah, I am good enough. I am okay. And now imagine going into that same auditorium and there are 20,000 people shouting, you are crap. You suck. It would not feel good. But a week later, if you felt basically good about yourself, you could think, well, I don't know what the deal was with those 20,000 people. They obviously had some issues, or they had me confused with somebody else. It's not about me. And now take another moment. Imagine that you do feel like, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm plenty good enough. I'm an okay person. I'm a complex human being with some good qualities and some not so good qualities. And you walk into that auditorium, and those 20,000 people are saying, "You're the best. You're the best. You're the best." Would you be able to take it in a little bit? You would, actually. You'd be able to take it in. You'd be like, "Yeah, I'm not so bad. I'm okay. And frankly, so are you. We're all just trying to make it, man. We're all just doing the best that we can." So my point is that other people's opinions, if you don't feel okay about yourself, they will not really change your opinion about you. Either way, if you feel like okay, then other people thinking you're not okay won't be devastating. And if you think you're not okay, fundamentally, if you just really don't feel good about yourself, everybody, your mom, your cousin, your next door neighbors, your high school friends, whoever, if they all thought you were great, it wouldn't be enough. So that's why it's just a waste of time. We all seek to feel okay. It's completely natural and appropriate to feel okay. But if you spend all of your time trying to control 7.5 billion other people before you'll let yourself feel okay, you will literally never feel okay. But the reason why we spend all of our energy and time focusing on trying to control the opinions of other people is because if you're doing that, it's because you feel like it would somehow be easier, would somehow be something that would be more manageable and possible to control the thoughts and opinions of 7.5 billion people than it would be to control and manage your own. So that's why we focus on other people's opinions to justify us. That's partly what it is. There's another aspect of it, and I think that has to do with that as small children, we kind of show up saying, okay, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing here? And we naturally pay attention to the signals and opinions of those around us to help define our role. And if we were surrounded by people who themselves felt crappy about themselves, then they would have naturally wanted to make sure that you also felt crappy about yourself. It's unconscious people who are operating in an unconscious manner. And by unconscious, I mean just unaware, not thoughtfully interacting with children. They project their own feelings of inadequacy onto those children and make sure that those children also feel inadequate. And so you might have come out of a childhood feeling not good enough. That being said, people who have very affirming parents and are around a lot of people who are very affirming toward them also will have feelings of insecurity if they depend on the fluctuating moods of those around them. Because even a really good parent is going to have a bad day. And if you are depending entirely for your sense of who you are based on your parent, well then, on your parent's bad day, you're going to assume that you've done something wrong. If you had a parent who was not just having a bad day, but was just basically having a bad life, you're likely to adopt a lot of really negative ideas about yourself. But now you're a grown up, presumably, or at least if you're listening to this, you have agency to make some choices for yourself. And it's time to start shifting that for yourself, shifting it to realize that you're okay. The reason I say it that way, that you're okay, is that just trying to supplement low self-esteem with exaggerated self-esteem, like basically changing I'm not good enough to no, I'm the best person ever, that will also tend to fall flat eventually because you're not the best person ever. There is no best person ever. We're all complex human beings with some good qualities and some not so good qualities. And we can accept ourselves even though we're not perfect. And as soon as you start to accept yourself, so I like to talk about self-acceptance rather than self-esteem, because it's not about esteeming yourself or seeing yourself as in some really grand way, but rather accepting yourself. And accepting yourself as you are doesn't mean that you won't try to improve. Because you can still, as you really truly accept yourself as you are, say, well, you know, I've got some not so good qualities and some of them I'd really like to improve on. If you're not judging and shaming yourself about it, you can use all of that energy that you would have wasted on self-judgment and self-criticism, you can use that energy to actually move forward and make change and say, oh, I I'm not as successful in my career as I would like to be. So what do I need to do? Who do I need to observe? What kind of behaviors do I need to start adding? So instead of saying, oh, I'm always late to work. I'm such a loser. Oh, that's going to suck the energy out of you. I'm making it really hard for you to want to get up and get to work on time. Whereas if you say, I observe that I have a habit up to now of not being on time to work, so tomorrow I'm going to set my alarm earlier and I'm going to do what I have to do to be there on time. And that will get me toward my goal of more success at work. That's a very simple kind of example, but you can apply this, generalize it to any kind of a thing. Anything that's, I'm such a bad cook. Why can't I cook? I never know what to cook. I'm just a bad cook. Well, that doesn't motivate you to improve your cooking. It just basically creates an excuse for why you're never going to try. If you really want to be a better cook, then all you have to say is, oh, well, up to now, I haven't learned the skills to be a better cook. And so what do I need to do? Get a recipe book, go to a class, whatever. On the other side of that, maybe you really just don't want to cook. And if you just don't want to cook, rather than beating yourself up about it, just say, well, it's just not my thing. I don't do cooking. It's not enjoyable to me. I don't currently choose to work on that. And again, that's self-acceptance. It's accepting yourself the way you are. And as you accept yourself in your good and not so good qualities, you will, interestingly enough, very quickly be able to generalize that acceptance to other people, including your kids. Including, you know, if your kids turn out to not be great cooks, and if you're not judging yourself about it, you won't judge them about it either. So, and that applies to cleaning your room or being successful in school or all of those things. If you accept where you're at without a bunch of shame and self-judgment, you can decide, is it that I'm not willing to do this thing, or am I just not currently aware of how? I don't know how. Because there really isn't a can't. There's just a willingness or knowing how. So look at the thing that you are currently not so great at and ask yourself, is it that I'm not willing to do it or that I don't know how? And say that out loud. Say, I'm not willing to be a good cook right now, or I don't know how to be a good cook right now. And see what happens. Your subconscious mind will likely start cooking up a solution. So that's all I have for today, just a brief one, but I wanted to throw out some beginning ideas about self-acceptance and maybe motivate you to start focusing on accepting yourself rather than spending all of your energy trying to control other people's opinions. So great to talk to you, and I'll be talking to you again soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.